We begin the current daf in Seftes Hanedrin daf Ayin Ches. We begin on the second line down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues on the related discussion from the previous daf, which was discussing our previous Mishnah of Elohin Hanaragin. These are those who get executed by the sword, which one of them is the murderer. So on that, the Gemara continues discussing the halachas, the parameters of a murderer. Turn by learning a brisa. Hiku asor ben adam. If 10 people beat up a certain person, ba'asor maklis, with 10 sticks, umeis, and then the victim died. Says the Braisa, Bein Bevas Achas, Bein Bezecharze, whether they beat him up, the 10 people with their sticks, both at the same time, or consecutively, one after another. Either way, Baturin, they're all going to be exempt from being responsible solely for the liability for the death of that person. They get executed as a murderer. He says, Bezecharze, if it was one after another, Ha'achron Chayiv, and the last person who gave him the last hit, which ended up killing him, he's going to be the one who's liable for the death penalty. Because he brought that person's death closer. So although they all had a part in the murder, but the last one was the one that finished it off, he's liable for that death penalty. So the Gemara explains, this is Vishnei Mikro Echadarshu, that actually both opinions learned enough from the same Pasuk. Pasuk says in the Yikra, V'ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam, that a man that will hit and kill the soul of any person, he's liable for having murdered that person. Now, Rabban and Sabri, they learn the word when it says kol nefesh, the one who hits and kills the whole soul, is ad deika kol nefesh, means until the entire soul is there. Now, since in the beginning these other people helped him in the murder of this person, so the last person, although they gave the last hit that killed the person, but he didn't kill the whole soul of that person by the last hit, and therefore he's not going to be chayiv for kol nefesh. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiras, he learns kol nefesh. What does it mean, kol nefesh? It means kol duhu nefesh. Anything of the soul, if you take that away, even part of it, that's going to be a liability of having murdered that person. Now, but where it was all done at the same time and all hitting at the same time of Bevasachas, then Rabbi Yehuda agreed that we're not going to kill all of them, because the Torah tells us, Ishkiyaka, a man, if he will hit and murder a person, but Valishnaim Shikub, and then when two people do it together. But if it's one after another, then the last guy, everyone's doing it themselves, and he's the last guy who kills, although he's only doing Kol duhu nefesh, part of the nefesh, that's included in the pasuk of kol nefesh. That's machlekes from the same pasuk of the Rabbanan and Yehuda ben Maaseiras. Now, Amar Rava, he further qualifies this machlekes. He says, Hakol ma'idim, everybody agrees. Bahirik esa treifa. If let's say somebody would kill someone that has a fatal flaw, for example, he has a hole in his esophagus, or there's a hole in the membrane of his brain. Then Shupat, everyone would agree that if someone kills that treifa, he's going to be exempt from the fact that that's not a case that the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiras disagree regarding. Obviously, it's because there it's recognizable that there's a severance of one of the signs of his life, which is his esophagus or his membrane, where he's like a dead person already, where that's overtly that he's fatally flawed, and therefore, if someone goes and kills him, he's not going to be chayiv. So to the other extreme, begoyses b'dei shemayim. If someone is in the throes of death from the hands of heaven, where it looks like the person's about to die, but nothing happened to him by another person, and then someone else comes and kills him, everyone would agree in that case, shuchayiv, that the murderer would be liable because nothing had been done to him as an action, the victim, up until now, so he was like a living person. Although he looked like he was in the throes of death, but nothing was done to him. Now that someone comes and murders him, he's going to be chayiv. Says Rava, their machlekes was only regarding someone that's in the throes of death because of what other people had done to him. Like in this case, where this person was close to death when the first 9 people had hit him because of all the hits that they gave him. Now, however, but they did not make him into a tray for the first 9 people. The first 9 people did not cut his esophagus or peel off the membrane of his brain. There's nothing overt. You couldn't see something that they did to one of his vitals that he for sure would die, but he's 90% not here anymore. And that type of a case is where the machlekes was. What's the machlekes? Mar, the Rabbana, were medami leila treifa. They compared this case of geisa b'di adam to the case of a treifa, where someone that's like a treifa, and therefore you're going to be pater, the last person. Umar, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiras, medami leila geisa b'di shemayim. He compares it to someone that's in the throes of death, like in the hands of heaven, so too he's in the throes of death by human intervention, but it's the same thing, and therefore since the person's not dead, there's nothing overtly, and the last guy who hits it is going to be chayiv. Now the Gemara asks on each opinion to clarify. Manzim Adam Lilitrev, according to Rabban, who compare the geisim with the Adam, which again is that you don't see anything clearly on him, but you see the guy's more there than here, that they compared to a treifa, that the last guy who hits him is going to be exempt, like a treifa who's basically a dead person, just a ticking time bomb. My time of limit damal the geis of the Ishman. Why do they not compare it to a geis of the Ishman? They're both geis, and geis is someone in the throes of death, which we can't pinpoint and say that, oh yeah, that's not working anymore. It's just the whole person's when he's in the throes of death. Why don't they compare geis of the other to geis of the Ishman? Says the Gemara, geis of the Ishman lo yisav be'maisa. When someone is in the throes of death by the intervention of heaven, nothing of an activity was done to that person. No action was done to him. And therefore, yeah, there someone does something to the person, he's going to be chayiv. Hi, Yisav ben Maisa. Here, when he's in the throes of death because of what humans had done to him, they hit him and they hit him and they hit him. So although we can't point to anything particular, but there we would say that he's like a treif and therefore he's going to be potter. Ma'oman de medami le geisav de shemayim, as the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yudim Seiru, compares the geisav de adam to geisav de shemayim to be chayiv. My time of medami treif. Why do they compare it? Why does he not compare it to a treif to be potter? Says the Gemara, no, a treifa mechatchi samanim. A treifa is someone that one of the vitals has been cut. It's overtly clear this person is going to die. Hale mechatchi samanim. Here, although he's been knocked unconscious, he's been beaten, but there's none of his vitals that's been clearly cut, and therefore, it's not obvious that he's like a dead person, and therefore, the last guy who hits him, like Yehudim Sarah says, is going to be chayev, having murdered the person. Continuing on this theme, says the Gemara, Tani Tani Kamed Rav Sheshes. There was a teacher of Brises that taught him from the Rav Sheshes, the following Brises. It says in the Pasuk, V'ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam. If a man will hit kol nefesh of a person, which sounds like kol duhu nefesh, anything that's part of the soul, if he takes that away, he's considered having murdered that person, says the Brises. So, Lehevi hamakes chabed, this comes to include if someone hits his friend, V'im b'kedei lehemes, and when he hit him, there wasn't enough to have him killed him. It's enough to beat the person, but not enough to kill him. Another person, guy, gives him another beating and kills him. The last person is going to be chayiv. Now, on that as the Gemara, that's what the pasuk is teaching. If the first guy didn't have enough to kill him, and then the second guy comes and kills him, so he was yaka kol nefesh adam, which even part of it, then the second guy is going to be chayiv. Pshita, obviously, the first guy didn't even hit him a hit that could have killed him. So, of course, the second guy is going to be liable. And the rather says the Gemara, Yesh Brigadei Lahamas, but Toma, where the first person who hit him had enough of a zetz, enough of a hit, that could have killed him. But it didn't. Uvoach of Amisa, and quickly another guy came and gave him a beating and killed him. Shu Chayev, that's what we learn of in the Pasuk, that he's going to be Chayev, because even called the Nefesh, as the Gemara explained, the stomach, Rabbi Meseir, this anonymous Bryce is like Rabbi Meseir, who said that it's the last guy who's going to be Chayev, because even though the first guy's also hit him, that could have killed him. But since the last guy was Kirves Misasa, he brought the death to its ultimate conclusion. He's going to be the one that had kol nefesh as in kol duhu nefesh. He took even a little bit of the guy's soul away. He's going to be chayv. Continuing on this related thing, Gemara brings also from Amar Rava, ha'hoirig esat treifa pata, many different teachings from Rava on this topic, that if someone murders a treifa, someone that has a fatal flaw, and someone kills him, he's exempt, because he killed a dead person, as Gemara's going to explain. Whereas a treifa sharag, whereas if, let's say, a treifa murdered someone else, so it depends. Bifnei bezin chayiv, if in front of the court this treifa goes and shoots somebody, murders him, he's going to be chayiv, they're going to kill him, they're going to execute him. Shalei bifnei bezin pata, but if it was not in front of the court itself, he's going to be exempt. Why? Explains the Gemara, bifnei bezin, when he killed someone in front of the court, my time of chayiv, what's the reason that he's liable? Because dechsev, the pasuk says in the Vam, uvi'arta harami kebecha, you should get rid of the evil amongst you in your midst, and they saw someone in cold blood murder in front of them, so of course they have to kill him. But if he killed someone not in front of the court, and now you want to make him liable for the death penalty based on the testimony of witnesses, in that case he's going to be put, he's going to be exempt, because the testimony of the witnesses is not valid. Why? Because their testimony is what's called testimony that cannot be huzam. You cannot fulfill the halach of hazama on those witnesses. Why? Because those witnesses would say, yeah, we saw this guy, this treifa killed somebody in cold blood, us two witnesses on that day. Now, if another pair of witnesses would come and say, how could you, first pair of witnesses, say that? At that day and that time, you were with us somewhere else, which usually makes the first witnesses liable for what they tried prosecuting the defendant on. In this case, Hazama can't work, because they will not be killed. Because the person they tried killing was already a dead person, was already a treifa. They're not dead people. They wanted to kill a dead person. That's not something that you could do Hazama for. And any testimonial that cannot have a zama done to them, loishma edus, is not considered testimony in the first place. So therefore, no witnesses could come and prosecute the treifa because Hazam will not work on them. And because of that, when the treifa kills, if it's not in front of the court, you can't execute the treifa because no witnesses are going to work. Similar teaching of Amarav from Rav, he says, Herdeveyas a treifa. If someone sodomizes a male, which is if a man has Mishkav Zachar, homosexual relations with a man, and that person that he's having relations with is a treifa, the person's going to die, he's a mortal wound. Chayiv, the one who lays with them, is going to be liable for Mishkav Zachar. And the reason for that is because he has pleasure. He has the one who has relations with him, sodomize him, has that benefit. Now, treifa sharava, if the treifa himself sodomizes someone else, so b'fnei bezen chayiv, if he does it right in front of the court, then he's liable for the death penalty of Mishkav Zachar. Shalei b'fnei bezen potav, not in front of the court, he's going to be exempt. Explains the Gemara. B'fnei bezen chayiv, if he does it in front of the court, he's liable. D'chsev v'ar teram mekebecha. So it says, you got to get rid of the evil. He saw this guy in front of the court, he sodomized another man. Shalei b'fnei bezen potav, if it's not in front of the court, then he's going to be exempt. As we said before, the havela edush yatir echal azim, because this is testimony that cannot be hosam. If anyone would testify regarding him, what he had done, and if no one could testify against him. Now the Gemara is hasu lamali. So why do we need this teaching of Rava regarding sodomy? Hainohach, it's the same thing as the previous halacha regarding murder. When the treifa does something, basically, but it's not in front of the court, it cannot be prosecuted. Why do we have to say both cases? So the Gemara, you're right, for the second part, that's not necessary, but hareva es a treifa es tzolei. It's for the ratio of the second teaching of Rava regarding when a different viable man sodomizes the treifa. That was the chiddush that Rav had to teach us. Because now, what would you say? Lahava kamad, the mishamish meis. It should be, when someone sodomizes a treifa, it should be like as if he sodomized a dead person. Because as we said, a treifa basically is like a dead man walking. It's a ticking time bomb. He's going to die. For example, if someone murders him, he's not liable because he murdered a dead person. So therefore, the lifter, therefore he should be exempt. Because halacha, if someone does have relations with a dead person, they're not chayiv for those arayas that are applicable. Now, kamashmalan, that's what Rav is teaching. No, demishum hanohu. What's the reason for the liability for this erva? It's because of the pleasure that the person who's sodomizing is having. Now, the man who's committing this act of sodomy is having that pleasure. Now, in contrast, the principle why someone sodomized a dead person is going to be exempt because there's no pleasure over there. Because there's no more warmth, there's no more moisture, the person is already dead, has already cooled off. Therefore, there's no liability. Here, although halachically he's like a dead person, but he's still living, there's still that warmth, and therefore there's going to be that pleasure of that arayas of Mishkav Zachar, and therefore that's the chiddush of Rava that is going to be chayav misa for being reveya a treifa. Another teaching from V'amar Rav, he says, Eidim she'idu b'treifa v'huzmu. Regarding witnesses who testified against a dead person, meaning not a dead person, a person who is going to die, v'huzmu, and then those witnesses who testified against the treifa, second pair of witnesses came and said, how could you say that about that treifa? You with us at that time. Says Rava, ain't that rocket? So they're not killed, as we said before, because what they wanted to do the treifa was, he was already a dead person anyway. So they weren't killing him to say that when they're huzim that they get killed themselves. Now, Eidei treifa, says Rava, when the witnesses themselves are treifas, shahuzmu, when they're huzim, meaning these two people that are coming to testify are themselves treifas, and they testify regarding what someone else had done, that he had murdered. And now it turns out that they're huzim. Says Rav, and they're rugged, and that there they are killed, the treifa, the first set of witnesses, the treifas, because it says in the pasuk, you've got to get rid of the evil amongst your midst. And since they did this false testimony, and now it's revealed through the witnesses that are mazim them, so then they get the punishment they tried to do to that viable person that they tried getting him executed. Now, Rav Ashkim, he disagrees on this. He says, "Afila edi treifas huzmu in erogen." Even the edim who were treifas, that they're huzim, that they do not get killed. The edi treifa. Why? Lefisha einon, because they're not qualified in the law of bezaimim meizaimimin. Zaimimimin means to say that those that do hazama to the first ones, when they themselves become huzim, then there's the zmama of the first zmama, meaning any eight zaymin is called those who are the zaymin of the one that's being judged. As we say, for example, on the Pedal Mabez, we say zaymi bas koyin, which are the ones who testified regarding the bas koyin. So in this situation, what we're talking about, why Rav Ashi disagrees, he says that those who were Huzam, where they said that at that time, in that place, you with us. So they were Mazim, the first set of witnesses, which the first set of witnesses were the Treifas. If another pair of witnesses, a third pair of witnesses would come and say, wait, how could you guys say that the first pair of witnesses, the Treifas, were not there where they claim when they said about the about the one defendant? Because you say that he was with you at that time, in a different place at that same time. But how could you say that actually you were with us in a different place at that same time? So what would turn out is that then they should get the punishment. But the problem is, in this situation, they cannot get executed. Because they tried doing hazama to the first pair of witnesses, who were betrayers, and that was a dead person they were going to kill. So therefore, you can't do hazama to them when the third pair of witnesses come. That's why, says Rav Ashi, even when there is no hazama on them, still the first pair of witnesses, the treifas, cannot get killed based on their testimony, because their testimony is an aid to shiat yechlazima, because they were trying to kill the first set of witnesses, were treifas, and therefore they wouldn't get killed, and therefore neither can the aid to treifas get killed. In contrast, Rashi explains that Rava would hold that since Edom Zayman is a chiddush, the whole halacha is a novelty. Why do you believe the second pair of witnesses more than the first pair of witnesses? So therefore, even if the Edom Zayman are iyar teyachal azima, still we're going to kill the first set of witnesses. Meaning when the witnesses are testifying regarding the defendant, that's where you say there has to be yachal azima. But regarding the second pair of witnesses, for them to be huzam, to say that to have zaymi zaymin, that we don't say, and therefore their testimony, says Rava, would be valid against the Eidei Treifa, and the Eidei Treifa would be Nerogin according to Rava, whereas Rav Ashi says, no, even there, the Eidei Treifa themselves would be a Nerogin, they would not get killed. Another teaching from Vama Rava, he says, Shar Treifa Shaharik Chayev. If a shar, an ox, that has a mortal defect, kills, he's going to be Chayev, that ox. Now, Vashar Shal Adam Treifa Shaharik, if an ox that's owned by an owner, who the owner is a Treifa, Pater, in that case, the ox is going to be exempt. My time, what's the reason? Meaning we say that usually the ox gets stoned, gets killed for the crime that it committed by killing a person. So if the ox itself is a treifa, it's going to be chayv. If its owner is a treifa, it's going to be pater. Why? Because Amakar, the pasuk says in Shemais, Hashar Yisakal, that when the ox kills a person, the ox gets stoned. V'gamba olav yumas, and also the owner gets killed. Now, what obviously does that the owner does not get killed, as the Gemara explains in the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis, it means to say kemisas abaylam. It's coming to compare the death of the owners, meaning in this case the owner's not going to die, but it's used for a hekesh, like just like how the death of the owner is. That's how misas ashar. That's how is the death of the ox, which has certain halacha as the Gemara there explains. Now and that says the Gemara. It's for this. It's also compared, which is kol hechad the karina be gamba al yumas, wherever you say applicable that the owner would also die. Karina be hashar yisakos. So that's where you apply that also the ox gets stoned. But for chalhecha dole karina bebegamba al b'yumas, wherever you do not apply that also the owner would die, in other words, since if this owner of the ox would have killed, not in front of the court, then, as we just said earlier, if the treifa would have killed someone himself, he would not be executed based on the witness's testimony because, as we said, it's eidah shiat yachal azima. So le karina b'hashar yisakal, neither do we apply when the ox kills another person, that when it's being testified in the court, neither do we say over there that Gamma Shar Yisakal, because the ox is also not going to be killed, because since its owner wouldn't have been killed in that situation, so too the ox wouldn't have been. Now Rav Ashi, he disagrees regarding that. He says, Afila Shar Treifa Namisharag Pata. He says, even if the ox is a Treifa, even there the ox is going to be exempt. My time, what's the reason? So he makes the Hekesh extend a little bit more. He says, Kivan de Ilu Balam, since if the owner would have been a Treifa, like the way the ox is a Treifa, have a patiri, as we said before, the owner would be exempt and he would not be executed. So too, sure, when the ox itself is a treifa, nami pater, he's also going to be exempt and he's not going to be killed because you said you compared kemisas a bailam. And just like the bailam are exempt when it's a treifa, so too kemisas a shar, so too if the ox is a treifa, the ox is going to be exempt from being stoned. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said regarding different types of killing people, what's the liability? So the Mishnah says, "Shisa b'yis hakelev, if he incites a dog to go bite someone and it kills him, t'chulu, etc." So regarding there, he's going to be pater. But this machlik is regarding the case of hishich. What's hishich? Is when the guy actually holds the snake and takes the snake and puts the the snake's teeth right there on the flesh of the person, and the snake bites, and it puts the poison in the person dies. So machalik is in the Mishnah, if the person is going to be liable for the murder of that victim. So Amar Vacha by Yaakov, he says, Kishatim Zalema, when you find, you could say, to explain the machalikis in our Mishnah, that L'divri Yehuda, according to the opinion of Yehuda, Eres Nachash, the poison of the snake, Bein Shinuv Hu Oimid, it's actually standing right there between the teeth. So the guy who puts the teeth of the snake onto the victim, it's as if he stuck a sword into that victim's stomach, where it's not a grumma, because it's like taking the weapon and putting it right there, the poison is there, he's putting it right onto himself. Lefikach, therefore, according to Yehuda, as he said in the Mishnah, Makish Besayif, that the one who did that is going to be liable for the death penalty of the sword, like a regular murderer. It's like taking a weapon and killing the person by putting the snake's teeth right there on the person. And V'nachash Pata, the snake's going to be exempt because it was being used as a weapon. It didn't do anything itself. In contrast, L'divrei Chacham, Eres Nachash Me'atzmehu Meki, they hold that, no, the snake itself emits its poison when it bites. And when it bites, what ends up killing it is the snake itself. Therefore, the one who put the snake's teeth on the person, he's just a grum ba'alma. Now, although he knows that ultimately the snake's going to emit its venom and kill the person, but it's not coming from his force. Lefikach nochash beskila. Therefore, according to the Rabban, the snake itself is going to be stoned, like just when an ox kills, it gets stoned. So to every animal, it's just like an ox, which totally uses a shur, because that's the common case in biblical vernacular. But the hamakish pater, but the one who put the snake onto the person is going to be exempt because it's not like as if the poison is there and he's pushing it onto the person. No, the teeth are there, but the poison is there in where the snake has it inside itself in its mouth. And then when it wants to, it pushes it out. So it's the snake that's doing it and not the one who did it. And that's why there's machlokes in the Mishnah regarding hishich if the person is considered murder and chayiv or not. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding a Ritzeach, a murderer. Hamakes Chaverev, someone hits his friend. Bein be'evin, bein be'egrev, whether with a stone, whether with his fist. Now Vamdu, and the court evaluated that Lemisa, that was a type of an injury that he inflicted on that person that should kill the person. Now, because if let's say that they would have first evaluated that the person should survive, then even as we'll see, according to Rabban who hold in this case, in that case that we're describing, if they would have originally evaluated him to live, the Rabban would hold that the person would be exempt, as we'll say later on. But here we're talking about the Mishnah where they evaluated that, yeah, this was a real, this guy really gave him a real injury, and he should die. But vehicle bimashahayi, what ended up happening was that the injury got lighter, in other words, and then they reevaluated and they says, you know what, looks like this guy's going to survive. But then later on they saw his situation got much worse and then he dies. Says the Rabbanan Chayib. So the one who's inflicted the injury is considered a murderer and he's going to be liable for death penalty of Sayyaf. He says the person who did the injury is going to be exempt. Shereglayim Ladav, because there's indicating factors to tell us that the person did not die because of this injury, because we saw at one point the injury got much lighter, and they evaluated and said he should survive. When he ended up dying, it's some other complications, but it's not from the direct injury of the murderer, and therefore he's going to be exempt. So the Gemara explains, Tarabon, the Braisa, Azu Darsh of Nechemiah. It was this passage of Nechemiah expounded in Shemais that was the source for his opinion to tell us that where they evaluated that he should die. Then they reevaluated later on, they said he should survive, and then he dies, that the murderer is exempt, because the pasuk says as follows, and the pasuk is in the context of someone that injures another person. So the pasuk tells him, Yakum, if the victim gets up, v'salach b'chutz, and he goes out, as you continue to convey, is al mishantai, which the Targum translates al burye, meaning on his health, meaning he gets totally healed, and when it says al mishantai, meaning is that he leans on his own strength. So tells the pasuk v'nika hamaka, so the one who hit him is going to be exempt. Now the question is, why does the pasuk have to say that the nika hamaka, that the one who hit him is going to be exempt from the death penalty? V'chital al-daitchu, would it enter your thought process, shezem ha'alch b'shuk, that the victim is walking in the street, v'zen arig, and the one who injured him is going to get executed? But the guy's living, how can he be executed for the murder? Ella rather says, Rav Nechemiah, zeh sham duhu, because this case of the pasuk told us where they evaluated him originally, lemisa, originally evaluated that this guy's going to die from the injuries. And the pasuk is coming to tell you, but if let's say he gets up off the bed and he goes outside, And his injury gets much lighter than what it was, and they reevaluate him. They see that he's going to survive. And then, but then afterwards, the injury gets much worse, and he dies. That's what the pasuk is teaching you, Shehu Pater, where that he's going to be exempt. That's where Vinika Maka comes to tell you that even if he ultimately does die, where it ends up getting worse, still the pasuk is telling you, that was Reb Nechemya's opinion in the Mishnah, that he's going to be exempt, where even though it was Amdu L'Misa, but then Amdu L'Chaim, and then he dies, that's what the pasuk teaches us from Benika Maka, that even when he ends up dying, he's going to be exempt. Now, but the Gemara asks Rabbanan, who they hold that actually in such a situation, the murderer is going to be Chayiv, so Hai V'Nika Maka Mai Darshibe, so what do they expound from the words of, that the one who hit him is going to be exempt? Of course, if he survives, of course he's going to be exempt. And Nechemya says, no, it's talking about even when he ends up dying. But Rabbanan don't hold like that, so what do they learn from that pasuk? Says Gemara Malamed, they say it comes to teach if, let's say, they evaluated that the victim should die, that, and this is all the way back in the beginning, that they first put the assailant into prison, that he shouldn't run away until we see if the victim is going to really die or not. That's what the words come to teach us of Anika Hamaka, that the one who hit him is going to be exempt, meaning that when it's going to be the Yakum, when the guy's going to get up, then Vinika, but up until now, we didn't let him off the hook, which is because we put him in prison, we waited to see if the victim's going to die. If he's going to die, we're going to have to execute him. If not, then you can go free. But nothing to do in the case of Amdu L'Misa, then L'Chaim, and then he dies, no. It's talking about in the original assessment, they evaluated he's going to die, but he didn't die yet, then we got to put him in prison to make sure that if the guy dies, that we could execute him. Now the Gemara put from Nechemya, Chavisha Manali. Where does he learn that the halacha of when the guy was evaluated to die, but he just didn't die yet, that we have to put the assailant into prison in case the person dies? Says the Gemara, Yelav Mimekashish. He learns it out from the biblical account of the Mekashish Eitzim, where it says in Bamidbar Tezvav, Vayinicho Eisa B'Mishmar, someone violated the laws of Shabbos, and they put him into prison until it came time to execute him. Well, you see the idea, if someone has to be executed, but they don't know yet what is going to be the conclusion, that you have to put him into prison. Now the Gemara says, "For Rabbanan, Nami Lel from Mekayshish." Rabbanan also should learn out from Mekayshish. Why do they need this pasuk of Nika Maka from Mekayshish? You see that someone that is going to have to very likely be executed, you put him into prison first. Says the Gemara, "No, they hold Mekayshish that it was obvious to Moshe Rabbeinu that Barakatalahu that he was going to be executed." As the Gemara teaches later on from Abraisa, that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Mekayshish had to be killed. Because the Torah already said, Mechal Leh Moisumas, whoever desecrates the Shabbos, where there's a Machlik, is exactly what the Mekayshish did, but it was Mechal Shabbos, that is Moisumas, that he has to die. Now, however, Moshe Lahav Yodah Katole B'mai, it's just that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, but what type of execution should he get? What type of death penalty? Where, as Rashi points out, must be then this Rabbanan must hold, like the one who says that you don't have to notify exactly the one who's committing the crime when you're doing the Asra, exactly which with death penalty he's going to get. Because we're explaining that the Mekayshish, they didn't know, so how could they have warned them which death penalty? So they're going like that opinion holds, you don't have to tell them exactly, you just have to tell them that you're committing a crime that has the death penalty. Now, so over there, that's where they put him in prison. In contrast to this situation, the Layadinani Barkatalahu Ilab Barkatulu, we don't even know if the person is going to be killed or not. So had we not said Vanika Hamaka to tell us when someone injures someone and we're not sure is he going to be Chai Mis or not, if the guy dies he is, if not he can go free, we would not have known that from that Lacha Makesha. Makesha, you know he's going to die, you just don't know which one, then of course you put him in prison. And that's why Rabban held you can't learn from Makesha and you have to learn it from Vanika Hamaka. So the Master Ibn Nechemya, what's he going to do with that? Similarly, that's correct, that you can't learn that from Mekayshish. So where does he know, because he really uses Manika Maka to teach Abdul Misa, then Abdul L'Chaim, and then he dies, that he's Pater. So where does he know the halacha of, that you have to be Chayvish someone that was, when he injured someone who was Abdul Misa, that you got him put in prison? So he says, well, you're right, he doesn't learn from Mekayshish, but Yolef Mimigadif. He learns that from the biblical account of the blasphemer. Where the Loihava Yodu Ibar Katalahu, there they didn't know if he was even going to be executed, as the Gemara teaches later on, that by the Megadiv, all the Pasuk says is Lifrish. They just waited from Hashem to see what should they do with him. They didn't know if he's supposed to be killed or not, and Vachavshu, and they put him in prison. So you see that even when we don't know if the person is going to be killed or not, that even there they put him in prison. That's where Nechemya learns that halacha of Chavshu. So the Gemara says, if Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan? Why do they need Vinika Maka to teach it if, yeah, you can learn from Megadiv? Says the Gemara, Megadiv Hayroah Shahi. So they hold that you cannot learn it from Megadiv, because that was an exceptional situation which was only at that time. In other words, The Rabbanu hold, if we would not have written Chavisha over here by Benika HaMakeh, we would not have been able to learn out from the imprisonment of the Megadiv, because that was Hayrash, oh, that was something that was only uniquely for that time period, because there they were not commanded when they heard this guy blaspheme, curse God, that they should lock him up. They did this on their own, because it was never said that a blasphemer should get the death penalty. For them to be in doubt originally, to put him in the situation of doubt, to say, oh, maybe he's going to die and put him in prison. Who made you even think that you should put him in prison? So that was Hayra Shah. We can't learn out from there. Now says the Gemara, Kedetan Lagulin, the Brisa, which supports the two points we said before. That A, that the Mekashish, we were never in doubt if he's going to be killed or not. We knew that. It just, we didn't know which death penalty, and that's why he said you cannot learn out from Mekashish. Whereas by the Megadiv, they didn't even know at all if he's going to be Chayv Misa at all. So that's where Ibn Chami learns from that, whereas Rabbanan say that no, because it was Hayra Shah. How do we know this? Because says the Braisa, Yideh Hayim Moshe Rabbeinu, Shah Mekashish Ben Misa. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Mekashish ate him, was going to be killed. Shem, like I said, the Pasuk in Shemayz Mechalel, Moshe, whoever desecrates Shabbos, they knew the Lama Tas Malachas, that whoever commits a crime of desecrating Shabbos is going to be killed. Allah Yideh Be'ezim Misa Nereg, he just didn't know which death penalty he's going to get. Shnei, like it says in the Pasuk Bamidbar, Ki Lei Pyresh V'Gaimer, because it was not said, etc., Maya Asala, what should be done with him, which is sounds like that they knew something had to be done to him, that he's going to be killed, but they didn't know exactly what. Av Magadav, but in contrast by the blasphemer, Leinema Ba'ela, all that the Pasuk tells us in the Yikra is that Lifrish Lehem Al Pi Hashem, they're waiting to be told, to be specified by the mouth of Hashem, and it doesn't say over there, what should be done to him, which sounds like they didn't know at all what should be done, maybe nothing should be even done to him. Because Moshe Rabbeinu did not know imhu ben misa kol ikrim lav, if he even is going to get the death penalty or not. Again, that's where Ibn Chami learns from there, whereas Rabban hold that was Hayra Shah. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlam Ibn Chami. This is very well understood according to Ibn Chami that he says that what is the words of Anika Hamaka, which seemingly is superfluous in the parasha of the when someone injures his fellow friend, that he uses it to say that when they originally evaluated that he's going to die. And then it got easier, that injury. And they evaluated that he's going to survive. And then ultimately it got worse and the person ended up dying. So, Heinrich Sivi Trey. So, we could understand why it says seemingly two superfluous points in that pasuk that are of umdini, that are coming to teach us different situations. In other words, because if the pasuk would only be coming to say what seemingly the context of the pasuk there is telling us, which is talks about what's called chayv b'chaver, when someone injures his friend, that he's liable for to heal him and for the loss of work, as the pasuk concludes over there, says shift to yitain, it talks about all the chamish devarim, the five liabilities that a person has when he injures somebody else. If that's all the pasuk was teaching us, it should have just said v'hika esra eyu be'ebun be'egr. If he hit his friend with a stone or with his fist, v'nafal l'mishkav. The guy falls into the bed. Shifta yitni, has to give him the loss of work. V'rapi rapi, and he has to pay for the doctor bills. Now, but when it says in the pasuk v'lo yamos, and if he doesn't die, that's superfluous. That's coming to tell us a drasha. That's one umdina. Moreover, when it says in the pasuk im yakum v'salach b'chutz, if he gets something and goes on the outside, then v'nika maka. What's that coming to teach? Of course, we're talking about when someone injured someone, not when he killed them. So on that says the Gemara, according to Ibn Chami, you could understand why there's two extra terminologies, one of v'loy meis and one of im yakum, to teach us two different halachas. Chad, one of them is amdu l'misa v'chaya. As we said before, one is teaching that when they evaluated him to die and then he lived, which is actually this is not that point. This is a different point where the chiddush in that it would be that we shouldn't say that. Wait, the court said that he's going to die, so we should execute the assailant. No, because ultimately the person survived, so the Torah is merciful on that person, and that's what the pasuk is telling us. That v'lo yamos, in other words, if he hit somebody else v'lo yamos, and he did not die how it was originally evaluated that he's going to die, rather nafal l'mishkav, the person fell into the bed, then shifta yitin, which is that you have to give him monetary and you're not going to kill him. That's one teaching is teaching from v'lo yamos, that he didn't end up dying. Okay, so then you don't kill the assailant. V'chad, and the other extra terminology is telling us amdu l'misa v'hokum imashayi, which is what we said before, when they evaluated that he's going to die. And then, but it got lighter. Then that's what the pasuk says, im yakum, if he gets up, v'salach b'chutz, and he walks outside, meaning after it was evaluated that he's going to die, but then he ends up going outside. Then says the pasuk, "V'nikamaka." Then the one who hit him is going to be absolved, even if ultimately the injury got worse and he ended up dying. But since it was Amdu at the second time of that he's going to live, although it was originally Amdu Lamisa, but then Amdu L'chaim, and then he ends up dying. That was the second extra term that the pasuk teaching us. Rav Nechemya's shita, which we explained before, is that he's going to be patur there too. But El Rabbanan, but according to Rabbanan, that they said that actually B'nikamaka is coming to teach nothing to do with Umdino. Rather, it's just coming to teach that he gets put in prison just as we have to wait to see if the victim is going to die or not. But if he comes out, then he can go free. So, tre umdini lomali, but then why do I need two evaluations, two assessments that the Torah is talking about? In other words, the Torah should have just written, according to Rabbanan, v'lo yomas, and he doesn't die, v'nafal mishkav, and then he falls into the bed, v'nikamaka. So in that situation, the one who hit him is going to be absolved. Rak shifti yitni, just has to, however, pay for the loss of work. From there, we would learn the first of those two teachings, that if they evaluated that he's going to die, but then he survives, then we don't kill him, because although they thought he's going to die, but he ends up surviving, so he has to give money and he doesn't get killed. Now, when it says the extra words, v'nika hamaka, that the one who hit him is going to be absolved, so that's where we learn that when it's verified to us that he's not going to die, then he can go scot-free, which is what we said according to Rabbanan teaches us, because up until now he was in prison. But the problem is, what do the words imyokum, v'yis'alech, amashante, what do those words teach? If he gets up and he goes, that according to Rav Nechemya is part of a nika amaka, which is, oh yeah, because although we evaluated that he's going to die, but then we evaluated he's going to live, and then he dies, he's going to go free. But according to Rabbanan, it's not being taught. So what do those words teach according to Rabbanan? So says the Gemara, so chad, one of them is amdu l'misa b'chay, like we said before. That's according to everyone, is that if they, the words v'loy meis comes to teach us that if they originally evaluated that he's going to die, but then he survives, then the assailant's not going to die. V'chad amdu l'chayim umeis. The other extra umdin is coming to teach us that if they evaluated him that he's going to live and then he dies. And actually the Rabban expounded the opposite of Rav Nechemya, which is the way they read the pasuk is, when it says v'lo yamos, they expound as follows. If let's say the person was evaluated to live and then he died, how do you see that from the pasuk? When it says in the Torah, v'lo yamos, it means to say that if originally they evaluated him, v'lo yamos doesn't mean that he didn't die. It means if they evaluate him that he's not going to die. Then even if he dies at a later point in time, still the Torah tells you, shift to yit and v'rapi yirapi, which is he has to give the money that was evaluated, how much that he should be sick, which was how much they evaluated the loss of work is going to be, how much the doctor bills are going to be, which they evaluated originally when they said he's going to live. So even if he ultimately died, he's not going to be chayv for that death. He's going to be chayv only for the monetary payment that they thought it was going to be originally when they thought he was going to survive. Now, if they evaluated him that he's going to die, and then it's yakum b'salach b'chutz, and then however he gets up and he goes out, meaning and he does not die, that also the Torah tells us, shift to yitin. That then he has to give the monetary payment, which is even though that was the other halacha, but it's learned out from the other words, meaning from Rav Nechemya was learning out from V'loy Meis was what he's learning out from the halacha of Imyakim. He's learning out the opposite of Rav Nechemya from the words of that pasuk. And there, yeah, if he was, they said he's going to die, but he survives. So of course, if this guy's walking out, they're not going to kill him. But if they originally evaluated him that he's going to die, and he went out from the court guilty, and then it turns out that if he ends up dying, even though in the middle it got lighter and they said, oh, he'll survive. Still, according to Rabbanan, they hold that the Torah did not exempt you, not like the way Rav Nechemya learns it. Now, the Gemara, however, tells Rav Nechemya, but according to Rav Nechemya, Amdu l'chayim umeis, the case of that, what the Rabbanan are using from this second umdana, that they're saying that it's coming to teach you regarding when they evaluate him, he's going to survive, and then he ends up dying, that says Rav Nechemya, leitzar kra, that you don't need a pasuk for it to say that he's going to be exempt, and we're not going to kill the assailant. Shari yatsa mi bezen zakai, because of course, he came out of court with a verdict of that he's not guilty, which we already know from the pasuk of Tzadik al Tarik that you're not allowed to kill a person that was vindicated, as the Gemara says on the Aflam Gimel on a base. From where do we know that if someone goes out from the court Zakai and then someone says, oh, I have what to teach or guilty, that we don't take him back? Because it says, but Tzadik al Tarik. And here so too in this situation where they had originally evaluated that he's going to live, even if he ends up dying, it doesn't make a difference. we're not going to hold him responsible. That's why he does not have that extra, like the Rabbanan do, and therefore, again, that goes well with his opinion, where the other teaching is teaching you what he says in that Mishnah, Amdu Lamisa, then Lachaim, and then Lamisa, he's still going to be Pater, whereas the Rabbanan do not learn like that, and they use the other teaching to tell you that, yeah, if Amdu Lachaim, then he dies, that still is going to be exempt, even though the person ends up dying. Continue on this, the Gemara says, Tarnabon, learn the Braisa, Makas Chavev, someone hits his friend. And they evaluated that the person's going to die, but he ends up living, says the Braisa. So they exempt the assailant from the death penalty, and instead he gives what's known as the Chamisha Dvarim. He has to pay for however the damages that the victim suffered. Let's say Mdu Lamisa. Let's say they evaluated him that he's going to die, but then they got lighter from what it was. So they make a second evaluation, they reevaluate, and it's regarding monetary obligations, which is how much work should this person be missing because of the injury, and how much is going to be the doctor bills, and how much is the damages. Now, but then let's say after that, actually ends up getting worse, and he ends up dying. So, says the first opinion, says, you go after the middle evaluation, which was the image sheni, which although they originally evaluated he's going to die, but then they re-evaluate to say he's going to survive, and then ends up being he dies. Rav Nechemya, as we said in his opinion, the Mishnah says that since there was a moment that he was not going to be chayiv, so he's going to be exempt, and he only has to pay the monetary damages. Whereas the Chachamim, they disagree. As in our Mishnah, they say ein oimed acho oimed. No, there's no evaluation after an evaluation to consider as if he already left the court vindicated to be exempt. If ultimately, it turns out that the person does get worse with that injury and he dies, then they hold that the assailant is going to be killed. Because we go after what the action was, and since ultimately it ends up getting worse and he dies, so the one who hit him is going to be liable for the death penalty. Tanin Duchlin, another Braisa, Amdu Lamisav, he was evaluated to die. And then, but still, if let's say we see that it gets lighter, that injury, so we can reevaluate him that he's going to survive. In other words, we don't say that once the court already said that this guy's going to die, and therefore the one who hit him, who injured him fatally, is going to be executed, that he's going to die, that we're going to execute him. No, if ultimately he gets lighter and he doesn't die, we reevaluate and say that the one who injured him is not going to die. But let's say, l'chaim, let's say the original evaluator did that, this injury, he'll survive. Then in say lamisa, then we do not reevaluate to say that, oh, we made a mistake in our first evaluation. And then to reevaluate and say, no, who he's going to die, and therefore to make the one who hit him liable for the death penalty, because once again he leaves the court vindicated, then we say that it's possible that it's because of some other illness that this came, which the injury got worse, and we don't say that the one who hit him is going to be liable for the death penalty. Let's say Amdu Lamisa, let's say they evaluate him that he's going to die. And then they got lighter from what originally was. Then they reevaluate him, and okay, they say it's no more liable for the death, but liable for the injuries, monetary payments, that what he injured the person. Now, but let's say it ends up getting worse then again, and then the victim ends up dying. So then, we don't kill him for what he did, but rather, mishalem nezegutzar liyarshim. So, we already reevaluated the second reevaluation that he has to pay the monetary damages. So the damages and the pain, that goes to the inheritors. Now, the same thing says Rashi obviously applies to the doctor bills and the loss of work and the embarrassment, which were obviously not applicable now because no loss of work because he died. But that's the evaluation that they reevaluated that he's liable for. And we're not going back to the first evaluation, which he's going to be executed. But we go Basar Eimer Emtsai. And therefore, it was for all those things that was evaluated. Just the Tana just is not saying all the different things, but of course, it includes all the other three things too. Now, says the Raisa Me'emesai Meshalim, from what point do we consider the monetary payment? In other words, we said that when things got lighter, we originally thought that the one who hit him is going to be executed because it looked like he was going to die. Then they got lighter, so we reevaluated. We said, no, he's going to survive, and therefore, you got to pay monetary payments. So from what point do we say that those monetary obligations start? So says the Bryce, it's Mishoshihiko. It's from when he hit him. That's when you evaluate how much more was he worth as a person before he was injured, and how much is he worth less after he was injured. In other words, in the Chiddush of the Bryce is, we don't say, but wait a second, up until we reevaluated the second time, the original evaluation was that he's going to die. And it was the responsibility of the one who injured him was only regarding himself being executed. It's only now, later on, that we reevaluate it. It's being reevaluated in the monetary obligation. Maybe we should evaluate that loss, how much he's worth right now, which obviously the person is in a sorry state of affairs, which would actually cause a loss for the injured party to say, if we only evaluate him now at this point, how much is he worth less now from how much he was a second ago? That would be very little amount of money. That's what the Braise is teaching. No, we evaluate him how much he was at the time of the injury, from right before to right after. That's how much the monetary obligation is going to be. But not right now when we're reevaluating it into monetary terms. Concludes the Gemara, v'stomach Reb Nechemia. And this anonymous Braise is like Reb Nechemia, who says that in such a situation where originally they evaluated for death, and then they reevaluated for money because it looks like he's going to survive, and then he ultimately ends up dying, where he holds that the person, the one who injured him, is going to be exempt from the death penalty, and rather you're going to go after the Eimer Nimtzai, which is, yeah, he'll be liable for the monetary payments. Although the guy's dead, he'll give it to the Yerushim, but he's not going to be chayev, unlike the Rabban Nar Mishnah, for the death penalty.